All right, 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings 14. I want to talk to you tonight about something called exchanging the precious for the ordinary. I had so many words rattling around in my spirit this week. I was like, Lord, which one do you want me to do? I don't really know. I had one I thought I was going to do, and then I felt like the Lord told me to change and to do this today, okay? So, substituting or exchanging the precious for the ordinary. 1 Kings chapter 14, and we're going to begin to read at verse 21. And it says this, "And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess." Now there was one problem right there from where she was from. Okay? Verse 22, "Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked God to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land," and that's a reference to homosexuality and sexual perversion surrounding the worship of God, temple prostitutes and things like that. "They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house." He took away how much? Everything. He took away everything. "He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made." And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. "Then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place and committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, then brought them back into the guard room." Several years ago, for some of you old-timers that have been here 6 years or more, you may remember I preached a sermon several years ago about Rehoboam. And if you don't remember that, I'll give you a hint. I brought a rooster in the sanctuary, and I had a rooster there with me. I named him Rehoboam, and I used him as an object lesson, and he crowed throughout the whole sermon. I don't know if you remember that, but he crowed here and there, just like Rehoboam would do if he was around. And I brought that rooster out to illustrate a point that I was trying to make. And the point being, Rehoboam may have had position, but he had no power. He may have had position, but he had no spiritual power because he was full of pride and he lacked wisdom. And Rehoboam was really the fulfillment or the embodiment of all of Solomon's mistakes and sins. Rehoboam became the antithesis of everything his father was intended by God to be. I once heard my pastor say this. He was talking to us. He gave us a great word of wisdom, and I've carried this in my parenting with my own kids all of my life. He said, "Whatever you excuse in moderation, your children will practice in excess." He said, "Whatever you excuse in your life, and you think you're just doing it in moderation," he said, "your children will practice those things in excess." And Rehoboam certainly took Solomon's sins and began to live them out more fully even than Solomon had. But during Rehoboam's reign, God began to discipline Judah for their sin. And this Pharaoh, this king of Egypt, Shishak, I got to be careful saying that today. Shishak was the instrument in which God used to discipline Judah. And it was during the reign of Rehoboam that God began to have Judah begin to pay for their sins. Now let's back up just a minute to Solomon. During Solomon's reign, during the zenith of the prosperity and the peace of Israel, King Solomon had made shields of gold to place in the house of the forest of Lebanon. And that was his palace. And I want to read to you about that in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. It says this, "And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammered gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. And he also made 300 shields of hammered gold. 3 minas of gold went into each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon." Now, here's what those shields were used for. When King Solomon would go to the temple to worship, the bodyguard of Solomon would be before him and behind him. And when he would make go in procession to the house, the temple of God, to worship, all of that bodyguard before him and behind him would be carrying these golden shields. And they would reflect in the sunlight. And it was just a breathtaking sight to behold. It was an amazing thing to see. The Queen of Sheba came. When she came to talk to Solomon and she saw all of these things, the Bible says her breath was just taken away when she saw what was happening there. Now in the Bible, gold has monetary significance just like it does now. But gold also has spiritual symbolic significance. Gold in the Bible is typically used to represent a kingly position. Okay, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus when he was a child. And those three gifts had great significance. But gold was a gift that had kingly significance. It spoke of his kingly position. Gold also is symbolic of the glory of God. So gold is symbolic of kingly position and the glory of God. So therefore, when Solomon went to the temple surrounded by these golden shields, yes, it did speak of Solomon's position as king, but there was something much more significant about those shields of gold. It spoke of the presence of God in Israel. And it spoke of his position, Yahweh's position, as king over the people of Israel. The Bible says in Psalm 3:3, it says that the Lord, he is my shield. Thou, O Lord, we used to sing it in a song. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. And so that gold represented God's position as king in Israel, and it represented glory, the glory of his presence in that place. But because of Rehoboam and Judah's disobedience to the Lord, Shishak came in, and he took all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and he took all of the stuff in the king's house. He took everything, including the gold shields. He took them away. Now let's switch gears for just a minute. The Bible tells us that we are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Doesn't it tell us that? In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, it says this, "Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us," what? "Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And that amen means so be it. So be it. We hold our position because of Jesus, because of who he is and because of what he's done. We exercise his authority upon the earth, and because of his resurrection, brothers and sisters, you may not see it with your eyes all the time, but you're surrounded by his glory. And it's just as real in your life as if the sun were reflecting off of a golden shield in all of its brilliance. It's that real in you and around you. The Bible tells us that God came to bestow in our lives, and the enemy came to steal from our lives. The Bible says in John 10:10, you all know this, and we're going somewhere, so hang on. The Bible says the thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have what? Life. Life that's growing, life to the full, a conquering life, an overtaking life, a life that dominates everything around it. Now, the enemy, as God's children, the enemy cannot defeat us. He cannot defeat us. But we can certainly open doors to him of our own free will that allow him to come in and begin to steal from us. And that enemy, just like Shishak, is not just wanting to give you a bad day, a bad hair day, crash your computer, flatten your tire. He's wanting to come in and steal what? Everything out of your life. But you're not, and this is very important to understand, you're not the treasure that he's really after. What he's after in your life is the glory of God. He wants you to open doors to him in which he can come in and the glory of God can cease to be seen in your life. Maybe he can't send you to hell, but when people look at your life from the outside, they don't see that glory surrounding you any longer. Now, when the enemy came in to Judah, I want you to notice what Rehoboam did when the enemy came in to steal. Instead of closing doors, instead of asking God what was wrong, instead of seeking the Lord and fasting and praying, Rehoboam just decided to make a replacement. And when those golden shields were stolen, what did Rehoboam do? He just made what? Bronze shields to replace them. Now let me talk about bronze for just a second. Compared to gold, bronze is cheap. A casual glance, you may look at it with a casual glance or from a distance, and it may appear to be the same. But the substance is very different, and the value is infinitely less. Bronze has a place of utility, you know, chamber pots, spittoons, handrails. Bronze has a place of utility, but it's not a suitable replacement for gold. And it's a cheap substitute for the best. Now, I believe God's talking to us as his people. And he is saying to watch out for substituting the precious with that which is lesser or second best. Gold is fit for a king, brothers and sisters. It reveals the glory of our Savior. It reveals the love that he has for us. God desires for gold to be in your life. And I'm not talking about somebody's going to immediately switch into monetary thinking right here. I know God wants to bless you monetarily. He's promised he'd take care of you monetarily or whatever. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the presence of God in our lives. The enemy wants to come in through any door that he can. He can't overcome you. But if you open a door for him, he will come in with the intent to steal the glory of God out of your life. And as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God, God has a desire for you to carry the golden glory of the Lord in your life. Nothing less than that. Not bronze, not wood, not hay, not stubble. The golden glory of God. But many people in the body of Christ are substituting something that a casual glance looks like it's the best. But upon close inspection, it's just a cheap substitute. It's just a cheap substitute. And you know what I have... Well, let me back up and say this. One of the reasons that I am preaching on this is because we're making a few changes around here, some slight changes. I mean, like last Wednesday night, instead of preaching the word, we came in here and we did prayer and praise. And we're going to do that the first Wednesday night of every month. We're going to get before God. We're not going to be preaching. We're going to get before Him and we're going to worship and we're going to listen to God. Why, Pastor? Because that's what we were created to do. Okay? That's what we were created to do. And I don't want to be a church that looks good walking around with something glinting in the sun with the appearance that it's good, but upon closer inspection, when somebody gets closer and begins to inspect it, they find out that it's made of cheaper quality than is fit for a king. I am determined that the atmosphere in the house, this house right here, will be fit for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm determined that for that. He deserves nothing less than that. And I will say this, we'll stand for nothing less than that. Now you can try to offer God junk. In the book of Malachi, when they were coming, Rhonda quoted Malachi this morning about tithes and offerings. In the book of Malachi, God was speaking to the priests and to the people that were serving him. And he said, if a father is supposed to be honored in a house, in the natural, and a master is honored in a house, he goes, where's my honor? Where is my honor as being a father and being the master of the house? And they said, well, how are we not honoring you? He said, you're giving me junk. He said, you're offering me junk. He said, go and try and offer that to your governor and see if he'll accept it. He said, he won't. Somebody said, man, this is kind of heavy this morning. You know what? It's leading us to a good place. My desire is that around your life will be the glint of something that upon closer inspection will not be less than what God is looking for. But we do this in so many ways in our life, brothers and sisters. God has a desire that all your relationships be golden ones. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm just talking about be those that are ordained by Him, blessed by Him, those that He can work through with people who are amenable to the Spirit of God and will say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I will allow You to work through my life and change me in any way we want. And some of us, you know, we're just satisfied with old bronze relationships. Well, you know, bronze is easy to find. If you want a bronze relationship, they're laying around everywhere. You can find them anywhere. Even in the church of Jesus, you can find them. But God wants you to have golden relationships in your life. Why? Because it is through those type of relationships that He can reveal Himself to you and fulfill the calling that marriage really is, which is a picture of His relationship with the church. And in that, be able to raise a godly seed and heal our children and heal our land. But there comes times where we just seem like we won't receive those type of things. And we start opening doors for other things to happen in our life and for cheap substitutes to come in. And then when we begin to see upon closer inspection that it's really not gold, then we start doing things like this. Well, God... I just think that magically somehow, especially through the wonder of me, this will be able to be transformed into gold. Now, I want to say something else. First of all, let me just comment on that type of thinking. That's something called magical thinking. It's based upon magic, not upon the truth of the Word of God. Right? That's something where we say, look, if I wish and hope for something hard enough, then I just think it'll happen. God never said wish and hope for something hard enough and it'll happen. He said, by faith, believe in my word and ask according to my will and you shall receive. That's very, very different. Okay? Some of us, we don't see ourselves as kings in the kingdom of God. So therefore, if you don't see yourself as a king, you're not going to go for king stuff. You're going to say, I don't deserve that. I'll just go for old bronze over here. And I'll just go for that. Well, that might be good for a spittoon or a chamber pot. But listen, that's not what God wants you hooked up with and linked up with in the body of Christ. Another way that we do this is with opportunities and things that God's telling us to do. And man, God will say, look, I want you to believe for this, and I want you to step out in faith, and I want you to get involved in this, and I'm calling you to do this. And we just say, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's not going to happen for me. How many times have you, think about this. Think about a king in a kingdom somewhere. Think about a king in a kingdom. What opportunities are he going to turn down because they're not available to him? That he doesn't have the power to see come to pass resident around him. That in his thought process, he says, that's not possible. You know what he's going to do? He's going to look at his position. Even if he can't look at himself and say, well, I'm the greatest thing in the world, he's going to look at his position and he's going to say, because of who I am, not because of me, but because of who I am, this is possible. Because of who we have living in us, Jesus, all things are possible. Okay, but we have a tendency to replace those opportunities with second best. And you know what? God is not able to get the glory out of our lives that he would really intend to see come out. Plus, we don't really open our hearts to receive the love that he really intends for us to have. Now, this is a preparatory word this morning because God... it has been speaking, not just to me, but to other people who I trust. And God is telling us we are about to enter in a time of golden opportunities. And God's going to present us with some golden relationships. And it's going to be real easy. And I'm asking all these guys to hold me accountable. It's going to be real easy to be able to look at those things and say, can't happen. We don't deserve it. That's not the area where we're supposed to. We can't go to those heights. We'll crash. God is wanting to surround us with his presence, and he's wanting to do mighty things through us. But it's going to take a people who think differently than the way we think right now. You're going to have to be able to think and believe for bigger things. You're going to have to be willing to be stretched. God's going to yank and break all the codependency out of us. He's breaking it out. He's setting us free. What is codependency? Well, it basically focuses on patterns of the past and tries to replicate those patterns. Okay? And God says this is a new day. God says we're coming to the end of all things. God says I'm about to show up for a church without spot or wrinkle. God says I'm calling a victorious people, not a people that are singing, hold the fort. Hold the fort. We're barely hanging on. We're so full of sin. We're settling for everything worldly. We can't enter in. All right? It's preparatory. Not because there's a bad word, because there's a good word. Because God's saying this is the time. Everybody say this is the time. This is the time. How is gold found to be gold? Through the fire. How many of you feel like you've been through the fire? I say let it burn everything. Let it burn everything. Let it burn everything off. Some of you are starting to see turns around already. Some of you are starting to see things turn. I say if the fire's burning, let it burn. Let it burn everything and leave you and your family and the fourth man in there with fire with you. Because when it's all done and you come out, they're going to smell you. You're not even going to stink. Okay, you are going to be there with the presence, and everybody that's observing your life. Remember what was happening as people were looking in from the outside there in that situation? They saw God at work there in that life. They didn't see destruction happening. They saw redemption, salvation, and deliverance coming to pass in that situation. So if the fire's burning, let it burn. Because you know what it's also doing? It's causing the gold to appear. Some people don't allow things to get hot enough in their life to let the gold be separated from the dross. Still all mixed together. And they settle for the dross in their life. Listen, let it get hot. If it needs to get hot, let it get hot. Praise God. You know who's got his hand on the gauge of how hot it gets? Not the enemy. Jesus does. If it's hot in your life, just praise God. Say, woo, it's hot. We're in tropical weather. Woo. But I'm telling you, we're going to praise the Lord because the Lord has his hand on the temperature gauge. And it will not get 1 degree hotter than he intends for it to. It may get hot. It may get hotter than we thought it was ever going to get. But we will survive. And when we're coming out of this like pure gold. And we're going to be vessels fit for honor. Vessels fit for honor. Not something that somebody sits by their bed at night because they can't make it to the restroom to use. When I was growing up as a child, Sandy says, what in the world is that? When I was growing up, my grandparents, for some reason, slept in the living room. Anybody had grandparents? I guess it was cooler or something. They slept in the living room. They had beds in the living room. And they had bedrooms in the back, but they wouldn't sleep in them. So they pulled these beds in the living room and they'd sleep there. Well, anybody who builds a good house built the bathroom by the bedrooms. So that was just a little far to walk in the dark. So they put a chamber pot out in the, we called it a potty chair. They put a potty chair out in the living room where they slept. And they would just, in the middle of the night, they'd get up and go there. Listen, you don't want to be in relationship with a potty chair. Not in a covenant relationship. I mean, it's okay to be ministering to a potty chair, and say, look, you need Jesus, man. Come on to the other side. Brother, things are good over here. Come on over. Even when it gets hot, man, we got hope. God's got his hand on the temperature gauge. Over there, maybe somebody else got his hand on the temperature gauge. But over here, God's got it. And you minister to him. But boy, you don't want to be in a covenant relationship with a chamber pot. Sitting down on top of that thing all the time. You know what you have to do with a chamber pot all the time? You have to empty it. You have to empty it. You know that? You ever get tired of the stink? Golly, I mean, come on, brothers and sisters. I know this is graphic, but this is where we live. God is intending to do some great things. You see that man? He's had a hold of the horns of the altar for I don't know how many years. I believe that I have been praying before God, Pastor Bob. I have been before him saying, do not, please, Lord, let that man pass from this life without seeing the next great awakening. Let him be able to say, Lord, the things that I prayed for, I have been able to see with my eyes. Just like Simeon stood there and held Jesus in his arms. Now, Lord, you can let your servant depart, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's my prayer. So, if the enemy is coming into an area, if you've got a door open, now's the time to shut it. Get it shut. Shut that door, repent, and begin to move into what God has for you. The way there may be through fire. But go ahead and go there. Okay, because when the fire gets through burning around you, it'll be burning everything else around. It'll just be the fire of the Holy Ghost. You'll get used to the fire. You'll go, fire, man, that's what we're used to. This is what we live in. This is awesome. And you know one of the ways, I'm just going to say this to you, one of the ways that God sets a fire in our life, it's not just how we handle promotion, but how we handle demotion. When somebody comes along in your life and points at you and says, sit down for a season, sit down, that's one of the ways that fire comes into our life. And one of the ways you can recognize gold is how somebody handles demotion as well as promotion. Some of you have been told to sit down. Handle that with grace. Don't run. Stay in the fire. Let it burn up everything. Burn up bad attitudes. Burn up bad thinking. Burn up judgment. Well, look at them. Well, let God handle his thing. He can do that. Our problem is we don't like the way God does things. That's the problem. He's too slow. He's too merciful. He's too kind. But listen, brother, whatever fire you're in, okay? If you're in a fire, hang on, because God's getting you prepared for what's coming. If the fire is beginning to cease in your life and you're starting to see victory, then get ready, because I am telling you, we are in a time of replacement. God's going to replace what was taken out and return. Pursue, overtake, recover. God's not having you run in a useless race. He says, I do have awards at the end of my race. And he says, it's not true deliverance and true restoration unless there's recovery involved in it. Now, it may not be exactly what it was, but it'll be better. It'll be better. So don't settle for the bronze. Don't carry bronze shields around. Go for the gold. Everybody say, go for the gold. Preach to your neighbor and say, go for the gold. Go for the gold. Go for the presence of the Lord.